Alto to the W5BSA repeater. BL123. W5BSA repeater.
Good evening, folks. QST, this is Marty, WV5Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSatNet. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1559, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, April the 23rd, 2024, which in UTC time is Wednesday, April the 24th at 0100. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control, and this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. And thanks to Joe, W5BSA, we're on the 145.19 repeater here in West Houston, and the PL tone is 123.0, and I will now take local check-ins.
DL-123.
Whiskey Delta 5, Juliet, Sir W5 Charity, good evening.
Okay, good evening, Carl, WV5JRD up there in Jersey Village, in the northwestern part of town. Do we got anybody else aboard? Okay, well, we're going to start with some South Texas Balloon Launch Team related information here. See, from last week, we had an interesting meeting that was put on by Gordon West, and that was actually on Walter's Zoom channel, and he actually put that on for the NARS group, and the topic was tropospheric ducting on 2 meters up through 1.2 gigahertz, basically. So very interesting stuff. So we do have that available. So let's see, if you'd like to check out that Zoom presentation there, see on Walter's site. Let me see, let me find it here. Got it. It's www.k5wh.net/nars/club/4-19-24. And you can download the MP4 video file, and it's the Walter's Zoom presentation of the meeting, and it's very interesting. He's made some very interesting observations and illustrations there about how tropospheric ducting works. Okay, so again, that comes from Gordo. That's Gordon West up there in California. So we appreciate that. And you might check that out there, Carl. It's pretty interesting.
Roger that.
Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y with the HoustonAmSat.net, and we want to remind everybody, you can call and make a quick phone check into the net by calling 713-467-9870. You can send an APRS message to West Virginia 5 Yankee, no dashes, no numbers, as the Indians like to say. And you can also send an email, that's to WV5Y@AMSAT.org. Switching over here to, I guess they haven't actually had any other balloons launched this past week from the South Texas Balloon Launch Team, and we don't currently have any in the air, but the monthly meeting for those guys takes place the second Wednesday of the month, and that's at 4:30 p.m., and then at 8 p.m. Central Time, there's the Zoom meeting, and that happens over on k5wh.net/Zoom. So, interesting folks, interesting talks on going on over there. So, it's another good resource if you want to check it out. All right, it's Marty WV5Y with the Houston AmSat.net. We're going over here to the AmSat News Service Weekly Bulletins. This is ANS number 112 from Frank Kanoskis, N1UW. And that's, let's see, the AmSat News Service Bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AmSat, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports on the activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating through analog and digital amateur radio satellites. And the news feed on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. And you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AmSat News Service Bulletin via the ANS list. And to join the list, go to mailman.amsat.org/Pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. Okay, 9 U.S. schools have moved forward in the ARIS selection process. Amateur radio on the International Space Station, or ARIS, announced on April 18th, 2024, the U.S. school/host organizations newly selected for 2024. Okay, for ARIS contacts, there's a total of 9 of the submitted proposals during the recent proposal window have been accepted to move forward in the process of planning to host a scheduled amateur radio contact with crew on the ISS. The primary goal of the ARIS program is to engage young people in science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, STEAM, activities, and raise their awareness of space communications, radio communications, space exploration, and related areas of study and career possibilities. The AS program anticipates that NASA will be able to provide scheduling opportunities for the 9 U.S. host organizations during the July through December 2024 time period. They're now at work starting to implement their 4 to 6 month education plan, which was outlined in their proposal. These STEAM-based educational activities help prepare students for their contact, as well as create an ongoing exploration and interest in aerospace and amateur radio topics. They are also completing an acceptable equipment plan that demonstrates their ability to execute the ham radio contact. Once their equipment plan is approved by ARIS, the final selected schools or organizations will be scheduled as their availability and flexibility match up with the scheduling opportunities offered by NASA. And the 9 schools and host organizations are the Arizona Science Center in Phoenix, Arizona, the Bayou Academy in Cleveland, Mississippi, Bishop O'Connell High School in Arlington, Virginia, Greenville Junior High School in Greenville, Illinois, and the Hillsborough Charter Academy in Purcellville, Virginia. Then we've got the Space Science Center in Seattle, Washington, the Sally Ride Elementary School in Florida, South Carolina Regional Workforce Advisors Office of Statewide Workforce Development, and that's in Columbia, South Carolina, and the Teach-NW Charter School in Springfield, Oregon. And we want to thank Dave Jordan, AA4KN, for that information. Okay, thanks to Bruce. The URLs are available over at amsatnet.com, including that link there to Gordon West's tropospheric ducting presentation from last week. So we appreciate that. And also, the 2024 AMSAT President's Club coins are here now, so you can help support golf and Fox Plus. You can join the AMSAT President's Club today and help keep amateur radio in space. The URL is www.amsat.org/join-the-amsat-presidents-club. And that's another one of the URLs that's over there in tonight's list on amsatnet.com, thanks to Bruce.
L-123.
Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y with the Houston AMSAT Net. AMSAT thanks first quarter 2024 President's Club members. Frank Knoskis in 1UW, AMSAT VP Development, happily reports, each year for the past 4 years of its pre-incarnation, the AMSAT President's Club has picked up speed and becomes a more important factor in AMSAT's annual funding-raising efforts. The first quarter of the 2024 President's Club is off to a great start. With our regular dedicated contributors, plus many first-time members, contributions have already raised almost $16,000 in the first 3 months of 2024. So often, our members think about AMSATs having to raise funds for satellite hardware, the cost for electronic components, solar panels, batteries, and so on. But there are many background costs. A good example is software licenses needed for actual satellite development. The volunteer engineers can often swap licenses so they can limit the number of licenses needed. But They draw closer to finalizing drawings for circuit boards, space frames, and deployable solar panels. The team can stretch software licenses only so far before workflow becomes handicapped. Some software licenses, even with the best educational or non-profit discounts, easily exceed the $1,000 mark, and those licenses need to be renewed on an annual basis. The engineering team can always use more electrical and mechanical engineers to move the Fox Plus and Golf programs along. But being able to leverage the efforts of our current volunteers with enough software licenses would be a huge plus. Contributions from members of the President's Club make a big difference in giving the engineering team the tools that they need. To date, the generous donation members of the 2024 AMSAT President's Club include we got the titanium level up at the very top, and that's $4,800 plus, and we've got Barry Baines, WD4ASW, and William Brown, K9LF. And we've got the gold level, $1,200 plus. We've got an anonymous donation, thanks for that. We've got Burns Fisher, WB1FJ, John Klutt, K7SYS, and Glenn Miller, AA5PK. So thanks to you guys. And then at the silver level, at $600 plus, we've got Donald Coker, KM6TRZ, Richard Dittmere, KB7SAT, Mark Johns, K0JM, Joseph Lynch, N6CL, Bruce Page, KK5DO, hey there you are, Bruce, and Jason Schwartz, N4JJS. Thanks for those silver donations. And then at the bronze level, at 300 plus, we've got Donald Pettigrew, K9ECT, and Dave Taylor, W8AAS. And then we've got the core level at $120 plus. David Batzel, N2VDY, Robert Beatty, WB4SON, Alan Boggs, K7IIV, James Gallagher III, KB3SQS, David Hartram, WA3YDZ, Stephen Hussey, KB1UOJ, William Pessy, N4WLP, Paul Stotzer, N8HM, Stephen Wagoner, VE4SW, and Wayne Wagoner, AG1A. So thanks to those guys for volunteering at the $120 plus core level. Members can learn more about joining the AMSAT President's Club at www.amsat.org/join-the-amsat-presidents-club. And we want to thank Frank Kanoskis, N1UW, AMSAT VP of Development, for that information. Okay, this is Marty WV5Y with the Eastern AMSAT Net. And it looks like we're a little past, quarter past the hour, so we're going to take a quick standby and see who we've got checking in here via some of our other means. All right, we got a message on IRC from Clay, KG4OZW, so we want to tell him hello there real quick. Okay, we do hear from Charlie, K5ENG, earlier there in the week, and that's always a good thing. It's nice to talk to Charlie, and sounds like I think things are running good over there, so that's always a good plus. Let's see. We heard from Kai in 6ZZO, and he's up there in McKinleyville, California, and he's our podcast listener who calls and checks in. And so he's up there in the northern part of California, and he listens to us when he's running around doing his mail route, driving his truck. So we appreciate that. Okay, we've got Dale, WD0AKO. He's up there in Moorhead, Minnesota. Of course, he does the backup archiving of the audio for the website, and we appreciate him doing that for us. We have had to use it once or twice. And we've got WA0RCR, and that's Vern. He's out there in Wentzville, Missouri. And thanks to him, you can hear our net on 1.860 megahertz, full carrier AM, at 5:30 and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. So if you've got a long antenna and you're messing around in the evenings there on Saturday, be sure and check out 160 and see how good a signal you got coming in from Wentzville, Missouri. Okay, looks like we don't have any APRS check-ins. It's been a while since we've had, but you can call or send an APRS check-in to WV5Y, that's West Virginia 5 Yankee. From IRC, we have AK0A, Ken, KG4OZW, Clay, of course. We got KG4WIJ, Brian, NZ9T, Renee, and KAWX, Bob. And from Echolink. Okay, we've got Bob, K9OIM, and we appreciate that message from him there earlier. Try not to stay keyed down for too long. We got Andrew, KC5LWI. He's down there in Galveston. Good evening to Andrew. And hello to Walter, K5WH. And, of course, he's the one who has made Gordo's presentation available over there on his website, so we appreciate that. Let's see, okay, we've got Bruce, KK5VO, over there in Roman Forest, and we've got KA9WBX, Bernie in Medford, Wisconsin. Good evening to Bernie. We've got Steve, KA5YFC, J-N0IUV, and Willie, KD5CEV. So good evening to Willie, and he's here local in the Houston area, so appreciate him checking in as well. Okay, we want to remind everybody you can call and check into the net by calling 713-467-9870. You can also send an APRS message to WV5Y and the email is WV5Y@AMSAT.org.
CL123.
Hey, do you need new satellite antennas? You can purchase M2 LEO packs from the AMSAT store. And if you do it that way, you get a bit of a discount on the price, and a portion of the proceeds goes towards keeping amateur radio in space, which is a really good deal there. So you can just go over to amsat.org/product-category/hardware, and you can get some really good antennas for making those satellite contacts. The AMSAT engineering team is powering up for Hamvention. Given the ham's inherent interest in all things technical, it's no wonder that the engineering table at AMSAT's Hamvention booth is always popular. Not wanting to disappoint our members, Jerry Buxton, N0JY, AMSAT VP of Engineering, and his team are making plans for an informative and entertaining presence. No fewer than 10 members of the engineering team will attend this year's Hamvention. Probably the most interesting exhibit will be a full-scale model of the Gulf T, which is Technology Exploration Environment Satellite, the 3D model printed by team member Tom Kanoskis in ZOUW. Gives an interesting look at the challenges that satellite designers face when trying to fit stacks of circuit boards, bundles of batteries, attitude sensing and control systems, and experimental payloads inside a 10 centimeter by 10 centimeter by 30 centimeter space frame. Yes, we're talking about the size of a shoebox. The model also gives a look at the challenge of adding deployable solar panels to the exterior of the spacecraft. Given the fact that the Gulf program represents AMSAT's return to highly elliptical orbit, or HEO, engineers will no doubt be busy answering questions on all facets of the Gulf program. Engineers will also be on hand to answer questions about the ongoing development of the Fox Plus series of satellites. Recognizing the success of the original Fox series as an entry-level introduction to amateur satellites, the engineers working the Fox Plus birds are committed to improving on the original concept and setting the stage for future capabilities for these low Earth orbit satellites. For those interested in a look even further into the future, engineers working the ASCENT program will also be present. ASCENT, meaning Advanced Satellite Communications and Exploration of New Technology, is a sandbox for future satellite communications and related systems to be explored and pursued for eventual flight use. Radiation-Tolerant Internal Housekeeping Unit, the RTIHU, software-defined radio, an SDR, methods, and a 10 GHz PA design ideas are some ASCENT projects that will fly on Gulf T. Engineers at the table can also discuss other ASCENT projects in the works, such as a slow-scan television or SSTV payload, a packet repeater payload, and propulsion systems suitable for CubeSat operation. And we want to thank the AMSAT engineering team for that information. Okay, yeah, we know getting those in high elliptical orbits now that propellant is required to have in reserve to get those things back down as per NASA's specifications nowadays. So they can't just expend all their fuel getting up to their altitude, but they have to be able to return the thing and bring it back down. So that makes things a little bit more complicated. Hey, you want to fly the colors on your expedition? You can get your AMSAT car flag and other neat stuff from our Zazzle store. And 25% of the purchase price of each product goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And the URL is www.zazzle.com/AMSAT_gear. Hey, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AMSAT Net. We do have some changes to the AMSAT North America TLE distribution for April the 19th, 2024. Two-line elements, or TLEs, often referred to as Keplerian elements, or just KEPS in the amateur community, are the inputs to the SGP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. So that means that's the file you got to download to keep your tracking programs current. Weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites. TLE bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day. New bulletin files will be posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites, and more info can be found at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. Okay, the following satellites have been removed from this week's AMSAT North America TLE distribution. And that's ClarkSat 1, NORAD catalog ID 58613, decayed from orbit on or about the 16th of April, 2024. And AIS Tech Sat 3, NORAD catalog ID 44103, decayed from orbit on or about the 18th of April, 2024. And we will thank Joe Fitzgerald, KM1P, AMSAT Orbital Elements Manager, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT Net. And we're right at the bottom of the hour here, so we're going to take a standby and see if we have any late local check-ins. So we need local check-ins on the 145.19 repeater. Come now. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y with the Houston AMSAT Net. Amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the International Space Station. And the downlink frequency on which to listen to all that action happens on 145.800 MHz worldwide. Okay, we've got some successful contacts that have happened. Mrs. Ethelston's CE Primary Academy at Axminster Community Academy Trust, Lyme Regis, United Kingdom, had a contact direct via GB4ACA. BIOS's call sign was NA1SS. The crew member was Matthew Dominic, KC0TOR, and the heiress mentor was Claren Morgan, M0XTD. And the contact was successful on April the 17th, Wednesday, 2024, at 10:44 UTC. And then we've got the Mountain View Elementary in Marietta, Georgia, had a contact direct via KQ4JVI. The ISS call sign was NA1SS. And they talked with Jeanette Epps, KF5QNU, and the heiress mentor was Daryl Young, K4RGK, and the contact was successful on Thursday, April the 18th, 2024, at 1748 UTC.
TL-123.
Okay, then Mountain View Elementary, let's see. No, we were talking about American International University in Samaya, Kuwait, had a contact direct via 9K9AIU. Car sign scheduled on the ISS was OR4ISS, and the crew member was Mike Barrett, KB5MIJ, and the mentor, Stephen Dombrowski, ON6TI, and the contact Monday, April 22nd, 2024, at 08:29:15 UTC. in the Pleasant Knoll Middle School in Fort Mill, South Carolina. Had a contact directly at K4YTZ. The scheduled crew member was NA1, the call sign, ISS call sign, was NA1SS. The scheduled crew member, Matthew Dominic, KC0TOR. The Aerith Mentor, Charles Safonam, AJ9N. And the contact, April 22nd, 2024, Monday at 16:10:29 UTC. Okay, then also on April 22nd was the Thrive Home School Academy in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And they had direct via AF0S, ISS call sign, was NA1SS, and I talked to Jeanette Epps, was the crew member, KF5QNU, and the Aerith Mentor, Gordon Scannell, KB8COJ, and the contact was Monday, April 22nd, 2024, at 1742-36 UTC. Okay, the crossband repeater on the ISS continues to be active. It's on 145.990 megahertz up with a PL tone of 67 and 437.800 megahertz down. And if any crew member is so inclined, all they have to do is pick up the mic, raise the volume up on the radio, and they can talk on the crossband repeater. So give a listen. You just never know when you may be actually working astronauts instead of people on the ground through the repeater.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
Okay, I know there's been some issues off and on, but this says currently the packet system is also active on 145.825 megahertz up and down. So we're hoping that's true. As always, if there's an EVA, a docking or an undocking, the Aerith radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. So if you listen at one of the scheduled times, you don't hear anything, then that may be one of the times when they've got one of those things going on. And note all times are approximate that we've listed here. It's recommended you do your own orbital prediction or start listening about 10 minutes before the listed time. And the latest information on the operation mode for the ISS can be found at www.aerith.org/current-status-of-iss-station.html. And the latest list of frequencies in use on the ISS can be found over at www.aerith.org/contact-v-iss.html. And we want to thank Charlie Stefana, AJ9N, one of the Aerith Operation Team mentors, for that information. This is Marty, WZ5Y, with the Houston AmSatNet. Unfortunately, we have no operations reported at this time. For upcoming satellite operations. Okay, hopefully we're not having audio issues here. That looks a little better. See, a growing number of satellite rovers are currently engaged in sharing their grid square activations on hams.at. And by visiting the website, you gain easy access to comprehensive information about the operators responsible for activating specific grid squares. Additionally, you have the ability to assess the match score between yourself and a particular rover for a given pass, while also being able to identify the upcoming satellite passes that are accessible from your location. So we want to thank Ian Parsons, K5ZM, AMSAT Rover Page Manager, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV, the Houston AMSAT Net. Let's see, we're down to HamFest conventions, maker fairs, and other events. AMSAT ambassadors provide presentations, demonstrate communicating to amateur satellites, and host information tables. And that's at club meetings, HamFest, conventions, maker fairs, and any other events that they get asked to. Okay, we've got the 2024 CubeSat Developers Workshop. That happens April 23rd through the 25th, 2024, at Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo, California. And that's www.cubesatdw.org. Then we've got the big convention, the Dayton Hamvention 2024, happens May the 17th through the 19th, 2024. And that's at the Greene County Fairgrounds and Expo Center at 120 Fairground Road, Xenia, Ohio, 45385. And the URL, of course, is simply hamvention.org. Okay, then there's the 38th Annual Small Satellite Conference. That happens August the 3rd through the 8th, 2024, in Logan, Utah, in the United States. And the URL is smallsat.org. And we want to thank the AMSAT events page for that information. Okay, this is Marty WV and the Houston AMSAT Net. Once again, if you'd like to call and make a quick phone check-in to the net, the number is 713-467-9870. You can make a email check-in, that's to wv5y at amsat.org, and you can check in via APRS, and that's to wv5y, with no dashes and no numbers. The CubeSat Developers Workshop announced Dr. Pew Suara will be the keynote speaker for the 2024 event. Dr. Pew Suara has BS and MS and PhD degrees in aeronautics and astronautics from Purdue University. Dr. Pew Suara is a professor emeritus in the Aerospace Engineering Department at Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo. In 1999, Dr. Pugh Suari and Professor Bob Twiggs at Stanford developed the CubeSat standard. Dr. Pugh Suari's team was responsible for the development of the standard CubeSat deployer, the P-Pod, and has supported launches for over 130 CubeSats in the U.S. and abroad. Find more information on the workshop at www.cubesatdw.org. And we want to thank cubesat.org for that information. AMSAT DL has announced planning for the BOCOM Space Conference 2024 to be held September 20th through 22nd, 2024. AMSAT DL, which is AMSAT Germany, of course, Deutschland, is organizing a symposium, flea market, and general meeting in the Radome of the BOCOM Observatory. The Radome will once again be dedicated to satellite and space research. AMSAT Deutschland, EV, and the BOCOM Observatory are taking the positive experience of the anniversary conference in 2023 as an opportunity to inform ANSAT members and other space enthusiasts about current and future prospects for national and international space projects with a varied program. As the radome is also the location of ESA's education office in Germany, or ESERO Germany, they want to make the symposium even more attractive in the future, and at the same time focus even more on current European space travel. More information can be found at amsat-dl.org/en/Bochum, that's B-O-C-H-U-M, -space-conference-2024. And we want to thank AMSAT DL for that information. W5Y and the Houston AMSAT net. Boeing's CTS-100 Starliner embarked on its last big road trip before its journey to the International Space Station next month. In the pre-dawn hours of Tuesday morning, the capsule and its surface module made the slow trek from Kennedy Space Center to Space Launch Complex 41 on Cape Canaveral Space Force Station. The rollout of the vehicle, named Calypso, is another key step towards the crew flight test, CFT, of the spacecraft, the first time that it will carry astronauts to and from the ISS. The mission's crew, NASA astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams, KD5PLB, were on hand to witness the departure of their ticket to ride. ANS thanks Spaceflight Net Nation. A jet spacecraft the size of a truck ignites with plasma and pulverizes into dust and litter as it rips through the ionosphere and atmosphere. This is what happens to internet service satellites during reentry. When the full mega constellation of satellites is deployed in the 2030s, companies will do this every hour because satellite internet requires thousands of satellites to constantly be replaced. Recent research has led some physicists to believe that the space trash generated by dead and dying commercial satellites could compromise ionosphere or magnetosphere. Unlike meteorites, which are small and only contain trace amounts of aluminum, these wrecked spacecraft are huge and consist entirely of aluminum and other exotic, highly conductive materials. And highly conductive materials can create charging effects and act as a magnetic shield. And we want to thank Dr. Sierra Sauter, writing in The Guardian, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT net. You can join AMSAT today by going to launch.amsat.org. And in addition to regular membership, AMSAT offers membership to societies, which is a recognized group, club, or organization. Primary and secondary school students are eligible for membership at one-half the standard yearly rate. And post-secondary school students enrolled in at least half-time status shall be eligible for the student rate for a maximum of 6 post-secondary years in the status. Memberships are available for annual and lifetime terms. You can contact info@amsat.org for additional membership information. 73, and remember to help keep amateur radio in space, and And that's from this week's ANS editor, Frank Kanoskis, N1UW, and that's N1UW at AMSAT.org. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AMSAT net. This is from today, April 23rd, 2024, by Clarence Oxford in Los Angeles, California, from Space Daily. Voyager 1 reestablishes communication after silence for 5 months. NASA's Voyager 1 spacecraft, after a 5-month hiatus, has resumed sending back engineering data, marking a critical milestone for the most distant human-made object in the universe. Since November, NASA has not received usable engineering data from Voyager 1 due to a malfunction in one of its 3 onboard computers, specifically the Flight Data Subsystem, or the FDS. The FDS is crucial for packaging both science and engineering data for transmission to Earth. The issue was traced back to a malfunctioning chip within the FDS, leading to a loss of essential software code, which rendered the data sent back to Earth unreadable. The mission team at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, the JPL, developed a solution to bypass the damaged chip by reallocating the affected code across other areas of the FDS memory. This complex process involved dividing the code into multiple sections and ensuring these segments could operate seamlessly together despite being stored separately. On April the 18th, the team implemented the first phase of this solution by relocating the code responsible for packaging the spacecraft's engineering data. The operation's success was confirmed 2 days later on April the 20th, when Voyager 1, now more than 15 billion miles from Earth, sent back positive signals indicating the adjustment was effective. The JPL team plans to continue with similar adjustments for the remaining code segments, aiming to restore the flow of scientific data from Voyager 1. Meanwhile, Voyager 2, the twin spacecraft, continues to function normally, sending back data from its position in interstellar space. Launched over 46 years ago, the Voyager spacecraft have provided invaluable data on the outer planets and now offer rare insights from beyond the solar system. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AMSAT net. Looks like maybe some advancement of some solar sails. Let's see, this is also by Clarence Oxford in Los Angeles from today. And a new tech mission utilizes sunlight for propulsion. NASA is embarking on a pioneering journey with its latest mission, which introduces an innovative method of space navigation. The mission, spearheaded by NASA's Ames Research Center, which we got to go check out at the AMSAT convention that they had out there in 2006, and that involves the deployment of a solar sail system that harnesses sunlight for propulsion, marking a significant shift in how spacecraft navigate the cosmos. missions craft, a microwave oven-sized CubeSat, is slated for launch aboard a Rocket Lab Electron rocket. The event is scheduled at Launch Complex 1 on the Mahia Peninsula in New Zealand, with a launch window commencing at 3 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time on April 23rd, 10 p.m. UTC. Now we'll have to check on the status of that. This mission is crucial as it will validate the use of lightweight composite booms to support the solar sail, a critical step toward realizing more ambitious journeys to the Moon, Mars, and potentially beyond. Positioned approximately 600 miles above the Earth, the CubeSat will unfurl a vast solar sail encompassing over 800 square feet, crafted from a lightweight composite material. The technology mimics maritime navigation, but instead of wind, it utilizes the pressure exerted by sunlight. This propulsion method will enable the spacecraft to undertake various maneuvers, such as raising and lowering its orbit, demonstrating a potential game changer for future space exploration. During its mission, the solar sail-equipped CubeSat might also become a spectacle from Earth. Visible to the naked eye against the night sky, this visibility not only highlights the mission's technical achievements, but also serves to increase public engagement with space science and exploration.
DL-123.
Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSatNet. Okay, this is also from Space Daily, actually from Mars Daily, exploring methane mysteries on Mars, Curiosity's rover's new findings. Okay, this is also by Clarence Oxford from Los Angeles, California, from Today. NASA's Curiosity Mars rover has revealed that methane is emerging from Gale Crater's surface, presenting a puzzling scenario for scientists. On Earth, most methane is biologically produced, yet Mars shows no clear signs of life, past or present, making this discovery unexpected. Curiosity's onboard laboratory sample analysis at Mars, or SAM, has consistently detected methane traces, suggesting a geological origin involving underground water and rocks. However, SAM has also observed that the methane's presence is transient and variable. It emerges at night and vanishes by day, with seasonal fluctuations and occasional surges up to 40 times above normal levels. Intriguingly, the European Space Agency's ExoMars Trace Gas Orbiter, tasked specifically with studying Martian atmospheric gases, has not detected methane, adding to the enigma. It's a story with a lot of plot twists, explained Ashwin Basavabda, project scientist for Curiosity at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. A new theory proposed by NASA researchers may shed light on this mystery. Detailed in a recent study published in the Journal of Geophysical Research Planets, the team suggests that methane may be trapped under salt formations within the Martian soil known as regoliths. These salt caps could periodically break, releasing methane, especially under conditions like temperature increases or physical disturbances such as those caused by rover activity. Hypothesis originated from Alexander Pavlov's earlier unrelated experiments with Martian permafrost models, which inadvertently produced a salt crust that could potentially seal and release gases. Testing this theory, Pavlov's team at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center simulated Martian conditions, revealing that gas could indeed be trapped and then released from beneath these seals, depending on environmental conditions. This could explain why we only detect methane in specific conditions and locations, such as the Gale Crater, Pavlov stated. The team plans to further investigate the role of different Martian salts in gas entrapment. This research is part of ongoing efforts to understand methane's role and behavior on Mars, highlighted as a key area of interest in the 2022 NASA Planetary Mission Senior Review. Consistent and comprehensive methane tracking is necessary, notes Chuck Sam's principal investigator, but is challenging due to the resource demands of such experiments. Methane studies are complex and require strategic planning, Mailspin said. Future missions equipped with advanced surface instruments will likely to continue this investigation, aiming to resolve these Martian methane mysteries definitively. Okay, well, we've reached the end of our time here. We hope everybody enjoyed this week's version of the Houston AmSat.net. We hope everybody stay safe out there. Be sure and make lots of satellite contacts. Keep playing with those radios. And we look forward to catching everybody next week. So from Andy, W5ACM, Bruce, KK5DO, and myself, Marty, WV5Y in Northwest Houston, we say 73 from the Houston AmSat.net.